Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is Friday, September 10th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Lance Glynn. I know I mentioned that Trey will be back today. He's not, but he will be back with everyone on Monday. Today is our week two preview episode, and we are going to focus on four games that really highlight the weekend. Joining me now to break down those matchups is 24/7 Sports National College Football Analyst Blake Brockermeyer. Blake, how are we doing? Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm great. I'm excited to talk a little football today. Excited about week two.
Blake, as I mentioned, there are four exciting games we're going to talk about on today's episode, and let's waste no time starting with the first. Ohio State hosts Oregon, and I think all eyes right now are on Kayvon Thibodeau and whether or not Oregon star defender will play after sustaining a sprained ankle last week. Look, you obviously having played offensive line at Texas and in the NFL, I'm sure you dealt with injuries throughout your career, but with Thibodeau being on the defensive side, how much could this set Oregon's defense back if he's first not able to play? And even if he is, I'm sure he's going to be hampered by this injury in some way, shape, or form that could really limit what he can do physically against a fast and high-powered Buckeye offense.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a problem for Oregon. I think, you know, Thibodeau's obviously, you know, you can look at it two different ways. You know, he's going to be a top five pick in the draft, whether he plays or not. His health is going to be a concern to him personally. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to, you know, have a major injury that would, you know, limit his, you know, draft stock. And also it's not a Pac-12 game, so it doesn't really, you know, affect Oregon's chances of winning the Pac-12. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play. Ohio State's got a really powerful offense. They didn't look great against Minnesota, but first game, you can always overreact a little bit. Their offensive line is good. They've got great players on their O-line. It wouldn't shock me if he didn't play. I think Oregon's, you know, they've got some pieces back on their back end of their defense, but I think it's going to be a long day for them. It's an early kick for Oregon at Ohio State. Ohio State's had a couple extra days to rest. So I think it'll be, you know, Oregon's in a tough spot.
Yeah. And like you said, it is that noon kickoff Eastern time. So Oregon coming across the country, it's really a 9 a.m. Pacific time start. So obviously, whenever you have that, it's always difficult for the team traveling. So let's move on to game number two that we want to spotlight. That game is Iowa State. It's the annual Cy-Hawk game. And the biggest really in the rivalry's history. Iowa comes in ranked 10th. Iowa State comes in ranked 9th. The first time they're matching up both as ranked teams. So first, Blake, take me into the mind of a player getting ready for as big a game as this is. You know, how different is your mindset the week leading up, the pregame, and even in game when dealing with a matchup of this magnitude compared to just another run-of-the-mill non-conference game?
Coaches always say, you know, every game's a, you know, same, you know, faceless opponent, this and that, but this is a big deal. And I've never been to this game, but I know that these two teams don't like each other. It's a huge game for the state. Obviously, College Game Day is going to be there, which is a big deal. So it's a different mindset. The intensity ramps up. Both teams, Iowa actually had a really impressive win last week. And Iowa State, you know, they won, not overly impressive. But, you know, I think everyone's looking forward to this game across the country. It's going to be a great matchup. And it's always a close game.
Do you, and you mentioned Iowa State maybe not looking as impressive as Iowa did. Obviously, Iowa beating Indiana 34-6. I think Iowa State beating Northern Iowa 16-10. Is it true that players can kind of overlook, you know, if you're Iowa State, could that non-impressive win be credited to somewhat them maybe overlooking Northern Iowa in some aspects and kind of focusing a little bit earlier on Iowa, instead of just putting all their attention on their week one game?
I mean, I think Northern Iowa has a very good reputation. They don't play at the same level that Iowa State does, but they're still a good team. Iowa State traditionally over the last few seasons has started off slow. So they might just be a kind of a starting, a slow starting team. And also, coaches aren't going to, if you've got a tough week two opponent or week three opponent, you're not going to show all your cards week one. I mean, it's not a game. You're going to be a little more vanilla, run your base stuff. It's just like, in high school when you scrimmage teams, you're trying to keep it simple and work on the fundamentals. So I'm sure Iowa State expected to, beat Northern Iowa, just running their base stuff. But I think, it's just human nature to look ahead to a huge game the week after. And, it's also probably to Iowa State's favor that Iowa had a tough emotional win versus a solid Indiana team the week before, because, Indiana was a kind of a upstart team last year, made some waves and to win that game and to feel good about yourself, I think plays into Iowa State's favor a little bit also.
And do you have an X factor for both teams that you kind of have your eye on? Who would it be, I guess, if you have one for the Cyclones, and who would it be for the Hawkeyes?
I think for Iowa, they're built on being a power football team, running the football. Tyler Goodson, I think, is a guy to watch. Everybody knows who he is, but he's running behind the best center in college football, and Tyler Linebaum. They're going to have to throw the football at some point. Can Petras throw the football effectively down the field to open up the running game? And that's the big question for me for Iowa. And then Iowa State has got a ton of experience. I believe Charlie Kohler is coming back to play. He's a huge weapon for them. They love throwing the ball to their tight ends. He's a huge target with a big catch radius. Had a great year last year. Obviously, Breece Hall is one of the top running backs in the country. So, it's going to be a physical, tough-nosed game like that game always is. And it's going to come down to, who can make a play or two here or there. And it's also going to be on who can not turn the ball over, because field position will be a big part of this game as well.
So moving on to our third game now, Washington heads to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. I think this game will say a lot about both teams, frankly. For Washington, how they play, whether win or lose, I think it'll tell us a lot about how they and head coach Jimmy Lake deal with adversity after losing 13-7 to Montana last week. And for Michigan, I think we'll learn a lot about how good they really are, because with a win here, they'll move to 2-0. And the possibility of meeting Wisconsin on October 2nd with a 4-0 record is very likely. What are just your thoughts on this game and what you're expecting from both teams?
This game a few weeks ago seemed like a really interesting matchup. After what Washington did to Montana last week, it really makes it even more interesting, because, that's one of the biggest shockers I've ever seen. I really expected a lot out of Washington this year. They have a favorable schedule in the Pac-12, which all of their goals are still in front of them. It's not like their season's over with, but they've got a big offensive line. They have one of the best left tackles in Kirkland in college football. Their quarterback struggled. I know they've got a lot of wide receivers that didn't play and are injured. Otten is one of the top tight ends in college football. So they are going to have to pound the football. They're going to have to run the rock, pound the football in a tough environment at the big house at night. So that's going to be difficult task for them. On Michigan's side of the ball, their offense is going to do the same thing. They lost their best wide receiver last week for the year, who looked great. They have a strong three-headed monster attack at running back. So I think both teams are going to play smash mouth football. It's going to be a defensive struggle. Both teams have a very good defense. And so I think Michigan comes out on top, but I think Washington, especially after last week, is gonna show a little more fight than people expected.
So last one, and I'm sure this game kind of brings you back. Now, I don't believe that you played Arkansas while you were at Texas. I think they moved to the SEC right before you ended up getting to Austin, but you grew up in Texas. You played high school football in Fort Worth. You know what this old Southwest Conference rivalry means for both teams. So first and foremost, do you have, just growing up, I think you mentioned to me that your father played in this rivalry. Do you have any just memories of Arkansas, Texas from back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, this is an old school Southwest Conference rivalry. These two teams don't like each other. Obviously, back in the old days, this was a, you know, two powerhouse teams with Frank Broyles at Arkansas, Darrell Royal at Texas, national championship 1970 game. You know, Richard Nixon was there. I mean, it was a different era of football back then. These two teams, they've played each other, you know, fairly recently. I think when Bielema was there, they played in the Texas Bowl and just destroyed Texas a couple of years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. But, you know, these two teams have a long-standing tradition, and you know it's going to be a fun atmosphere Saturday night in Fayetteville, because you know I don't think the younger generation of Texas Arkansas people really, this doesn't really mean as much to them, but I know for a lot of the old Southwest Conference guys like myself, this is a fun game and a big game.
And look, for Texas, this gives them the opportunity to start off Steve Sarkisian's tenure 2-0, and it gives them the opportunity to beat a rival that they'll be seeing a lot more of again once they join the SEC in a few seasons. For Arkansas, they also have the opportunity to start off 2-0, and I think this would really be Sam Pittman's signature win so far in Fayetteville. Look, it's certainly a big game for both teams and what I'm sure will be an electric Razorback Stadium. What are you most looking forward to seeing on Saturday night?
Yeah, it's going to be a great, great environment. It's going to be a very hostile environment for Texas. We'll see how they react to playing on the first game on the road under Sark. KJ Jefferson is a huge quarterback that loves to throw that loves to run the football. When you hit him, you better bring every ounce of energy in your body, because he's like a tackling a huge, huge guy. So he can run through you, he can run around you. I mean, that's going to be a big part of the game plan. Arkansas expects Texas to try to stop them around the football, I would think. And I would expect Arkansas to take some shots. You know, they've got, you know, some good receivers. Traylon Burks is one of the best receivers in the SEC. So that'll be a matchup. Arkansas is going to go tempo. Kendall Briles is their OC. So Texas has to be ready for that. And then, you know, on the other side of it, I think, you know, special teams is going to be a big factor in this. Arkansas hasn't had a great special teams unit the last couple of years. They had a punt blocked against Rice. They fumbled their opening kickoff. I believe they were one of the bottom 5% teams in the country in special teams in 2020. So I'm sure Texas will try to take advantage of that. And then, you know, Barry Odom, Arkansas's defensive coordinator, he is a really good defensive coordinator that, you know, every year when the coaching circles come around and new coaches are being hired, his name's always mentioned. You know, they've got an excellent middle of the field defender in their robber defense, you know, Catalan, who, you know, runs, you know, kind of runs their defense. And, you know, he's a playmaker for them. And, you know, Odom will make it confusing. He'll try to give, you know, Hudson Card, who's making his first road start, you know, give him some different looks. So, you know, it ought to be a great game. It'll be a close game, in my opinion. And it'll be a fun, you know, kind of a new start to a rivalry that's probably going to go on here for a long time.
Well, a lot riding on that game and a lot on the line in each of these games for all the teams playing. And I'm sure sets up for a very fun and exciting week 2 of the college football season. Blake, thanks so much for coming on and giving me some time today. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Good talking to you.
So before we go, each week, Trey has been choosing 3 games and picking them based on the spread. So since he's out this week, I'll fill in for him on these picks and give my 3 selections. First, Ohio State is -14.5 against Oregon. Give me the Buckeyes in that one. I think their offense really started to get going in the second half against Minnesota. It's hard for a West Coast team to travel across the country and play a noon Eastern time game, and the Kayvon Thibodeau injury worries me big time. Second, in the Cy-Hawk game, give me Iowa State to win, but give me Iowa +4.5. This game, to me, screams last possession wins. You know, I expect it to be a real grind all game long. Plus, the last 2 that took place in Ames, Iowa, Iowa won by 3 points in 2017 and 1 point in 2019. So both have been very, very close. Last, give me Washington +7 against Michigan. It would not shock me if Michigan won. It wouldn't shock me if Washington won either. But I think 7 is a big line regardless. I think Washington's going to come out energized, upset after losing to Montana, and desperate for a win. So to recap my 3 picks, I'm taking Ohio State -14.5, Iowa +4.5, and Washington +7. A big thanks to Blake Brockermeyer for coming on today's episode. You can follow him on Twitter at @BBrockermeyerFW. My name is Lance Glynn. I hope everyone enjoys this weekend's games. Trey will be back with you on Monday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.